All right, people, I'm late. Lots going on here, but things should begin to settle down as June ebbs and summer truly begins. And that brings me to today's episode, which is from exactly 29 years ago today, June 21st, 1994. A dumb birthday game, which I have titled Keeping the Comedy Secure. The players: Joanne from Walpole, Liza from Winchester, Dee Dee in West Virginia, Rod the security guard, Mike Epstein producing and playing in studio, I'm in studio, and Jack Hart in traffic. The birthdays: Jane Russell, Maureen Stapleton, Marriott Hartley, Joe Flaherty, Steve Merrill, Meredith Baxter, and Michael Gross. Same birthday, same age, same TV show. Bernie Coppell. Then a crazy birthday free-for-all takes over. O.C. Smith, Lalo Schifrin, Carl Stokes, Berkeley Breathed, Ron Eli, oh my goodness, Benazir Bhutto, and Francois Saga. Wah. There's even a couple of post-game callers, Glenn from Brighton and Stan from East Hampstead, New Hampshire. More unmasked funnies. The Gil Santos, I know everything about sports school. The Lonesome Gal. Dinger, doing it. Whistling loquaciously. Pocket Crawlers, erupting itchy rashes. Isuzu Guns. The sickly, big fat, rolling WHDH security guard story. The armed, hallucinating, overprotective WHDH security guard story. And the 103-year-old guardian of the receptionist security guard story. Full-figured, well-endowed, brains with a nice-looking face, and bathing in the warmth of a voice. Episode 142, Keeping the Comedy Secure, unlocks its way to your ears now.
Soccer team, and they don't usually show up in many other sports. That's my analysis. I went to the Gil Santos. I know everything about sports school, except he does it much better and really does know about sports. Okay, a couple of messages and then we'll play.
Don't need skill, you don't have to be a brain. You just call Norm to play the dumb birthday game. Play the dumb birthday game.
Okay, this is where we tell you who was born on this date. It's now June 21st. It's the first day of summer, isn't it? Isn't this it? And, you tell me how old you think they are. And a lot of well-known people born on this first day of summer. And let's see who's going to be playing the game with us. We have Joanne, who's down at Walpole. Hello, Joanne.
Hello, Norman.
Oh, hello, Joanne.
Hi, Norman.
Why don't we forget about the game and just come into a man's apartment?
Okay.
They used to be one of these awful, supposedly sexy kind of programs at night where the guy would have somewhat of an Italian accent. He would come on and say, don't be afraid. Why? Have you never been to a man's apartment? This was supposed to be sexy. It was kind of funny. It made you laugh.
Oh.
Also, the Lonesome Gal was one. We carried that on WBZ, I remember. Fortunately, I wasn't working for WBZ at the time. But she would come on and try so hard to be sexy that she sounded really stupid. But that's not like you, baby. You know what I'm saying, Joanne?
Thank you.
You know how the game is played?
Yeah,
I wonder if you'd explain it to us. I just explained it, but I just so want you to keep talking.
You want me to keep talking? I wish Dinger would do it and get it over with.
I agree.
I know it.
I'm Arlie, so sick of that commercial.
Come closer.
Okay.
I'm sick of almost every commercial we play all night.
Everything's about itching.
It's
and
about
milk and Ovaltine.
Not Dinger.
Well, what is he doing?
I don't know.
Well,
whatever he's doing, everybody's wondering how he's doing it.
One of these days, we're going to hear a song that's going to say, and Dinger's done it. You don't have to come and see.
And just send us a card. We'll send you full instructions on how you can do it, too, whatever it is he does. Okay, we have Liza. Liza with an L. Or
hello.
Z. Liza with a Z in Winchester.
Liza with a Z.
Same as that other lady.
God, you're so talkative.
Me?
I was going to say loquacious, but...
Loquacious is good. That's a good word. Yeah, well, I don't know what else to do on a talk show. See, if I don't talk, what else do I do? I could just sit here and whistle, I suppose.
He is so long-winded and dramatic. You're so funny.
Oh, see, now the funny part I like, but the rest of what you said, I'm not so sure about. Now, is this the first time you're going to be playing the game with us?
No, I played a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What are you doing up at this time of the morning?
I can't sleep. I don't know what is wrong with me.
Probably nothing at all. I have the same trouble myself.
Oh, I can't take it. I just can't sleep. I went to bed at about 11, and I couldn't sleep.
Not at all. Do you have to be at work this morning?
No.
Well, that's okay. Can you sleep during the day?
I can, but I don't want to do that anymore. I've been doing that for like a couple of months, and I can't get back on a routine.
So you already have an... It's
fun.
Unless you get a job, maybe you can get an all-night job like I have.
Oh, yeah, maybe like a 7-Eleven or something.
Something, yeah, you can work all night.
Slurpees.
Yeah, you could work at Slurpees. That'd be good. Or a Dunkin' Donuts would be good. How are you with honey dips? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get so familiar.
Yeah, get your crawler away from
me. Is that a crawler? You just happen to see me. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's is that a crawler?
Glad
to see me.
Are you just glad to hear my voice?
I'm glad to hear your voice, and I think we're getting really raunchy, and I'm so pleased. Anyway, let's go to Dee Dee. Dee Dee is in West Virginia. Hello, Dee Dee.
Hello, Norm.
I feel like this is baby talk when I talk to you, Dee Dee.
Well, what can I say?
You can say anything you want, because I think Mike Epstein, who picked the panel, picked everybody with great voices.
He did a fine job.
Yeah, he did a very fine job.
I thought to myself, could I pick some of our usual candidates, like, I don't know, Fred and Medford, a voice you haven't heard in about, 3 hours now?
Something like that, yeah.
And I decided no.
I'd rather have sexy women's voice.
Yeah.
Just shows he has good taste.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I just have one question.
I have an answer.
Why? Like, what is everyone so itchy from on these commercials? I don't think I want to know.
I don't know. I think just the skin, I guess, just by sitting around. The skin automatically erupts into itchiness.
Well, you know what it is? It's, they go to these car sales during the summer.
It's the Ovaltine.
And the seats in the cars are so hot from sitting out in the sun. They sit in, they get itchy thighs, they get itchy, you know, this and that. Maybe not. Dee Dee, is that your real name or is that a
nickname? It's a nickname.
It's a nickname, huh?
Right.
What he was going to say was, is that your real name or you're just glad to see me?
Well, that too, but...
Okay. We have Rod, who's out in the front lobby, actually calling from there, because we call him RJ also. He happens to be a security guard. And he's out there. And I appreciate you being out there, RJ, because who knows when we may be taken over by terrorists, and you're our first line of defense. And he's probably eating his lunch and talking on the phone, and he's got his back to the door where the terrorists are there with their Isuzu guns, whatever they call those rifles.
Isuzu guns?
Uzi. Uzis. You can tell I'm a peaceful person.
Zuzu's petals.
Okay.
Get that Isuzu out of here.
Yeah. So far, do you see any masked gunmen coming in the front door, RJ?
Not yet, but, you know, I can arrange some if you want them.
No, I wasn't thinking of that. I was kind of hoping you'd just keep them away. You know, you don't see...
Okay, you want me to keep them away?
Yeah,
they have to pay me a lot more for that.
You seem to miss the point of your entire... what your duties are.
No, see, they have to pay me more to keep masked gunmen away.
Oh, otherwise they don't pay enough, so that therefore we're all in peril? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, every man for himself.
What if they weren't wearing a mask?
Well, they can wear a mask as long as they don't have a gun, you see. That's cool. Then I'll protect you. But if they got a gun... y'all are on your own.
No, if they have a gun, I don't blame you for chickening out on us.
Anyway,
yes.
You should tell that story. I heard you saying it a couple of months ago. I was cracking up laughing. You were in some newsroom or something, and you had some guy who was he wouldn't get up. He would just move his chair. Was that you?
Oh, no, yeah, no. What I said was we're talking about a security guard that when I was at WHDH, we had studios. At that time, we were on Stewart Street. Up in back of around the corner from the Copley Plaza Hotel, and it was an office building, so it wasn't just the radio station that was there. We were part of it, and we were the only ones that were there at night. But we had a security guard. He was a big fat guy who was very sick, and he was in one of these office chairs, you know, desk chair with wheels on it. The guy could not walk. I'm truly so. So you'd go to the front door and show them, you know, through the glass, your identification card and stuff. And he came over in his chair, sitting down, wheeling himself over in this chair.
It's so sick.
Yeah. And they would look at the card and stuff and figured you're okay, and he let you in. Of course, I worked there for long enough, so eventually got to know that I was the same face on the identification card. And he would let me in and then close the door. It would be done so slowly, and the entire Bulgarian army could have broken in at that point.
And he would roll back.
Then he would roll back. I never saw him walk. I never saw him stand up, and I know he couldn't. I think he was admitted to a hospital soon after, you know, within a few weeks. And I thought, this is the guy's protecting all of us, all-night workers, against who knows what.
Now, if you tell that story, you have to tell the other story about the guy who overprotected
you. Okay, here's an overprotection. This is another security. See, that's why we're so grateful to you, Rod, even though you're probably totally inept. You're better than any security guards they've ever worked with in the past. This was a guy who had just been, obviously had a dishonorable discharge from the military.
Like a Section 8.
Yeah. I think so. This is no joke. I really think so. He carried a gun around, and this is WHDH also. This was a few years before that, when at that point we were at Morrissey Boulevard and still had a television station. Remember that time? This guy would be running up and down the hall. He was a young guy. He'd be running up and down the hall saying, "They're coming in through the back!" And he'd have his gun out there flashing it, you know? And I would think, if we can get through this night without all of us dying, that's what's going to happen. The morning crew, the drive time crew, is going to come on and find us all lying in a heap, bleeding and dead.
So was this doing the Sounds in the Night?
Yeah, it was Sounds in the Night. That's right. I was doing Sounds
or gunshots.
That's right. Oh, Sounds in the Night was this guy having a fit. So I want to tell you, those are some of the security guards I worked with. I won't even tell you about the other guy who was 103 years old. And,
I don't think I've heard this one.
No, this is he was a nice man, but they put him on at least during the daytime. That was a few weeks that I worked daytime.
Where there was backup on.
Yeah, he would be there near the receptionist. He would sort of protect her. And I thought, I hope she's never in any peril, because let me introduce some other members of the panel, as long as I have your attention here. Mike Epstein, of course, is a part of the panel, our producer. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Norm.
This is kind of silly. We've been looking at each other through the glass all night and suddenly saying hello. And, of course, Tony Nesbitt did such a great job, you know, you did on the swell, whatever it was, the swell game, the music quiz that we've kept you over.
Thank you.
And we also have Jack Hart. Hold on a minute, Jack. Don't lose heart because you're with us. Okay.
Sorry.
Uh-huh. Hello. I didn't mean that as a joke. Okay. And this is where we guess the ages of people born on this very day. Hmm. And the first guess we're going to do is that fat guy wheeling himself around in the chair. if he were alive today, he'd probably be
dead.
He'd probably be dead. So it's lucky he's not alive today. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Today's the birthday of Jane Russell.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
No. Are you still saying, wow, hey, wait, because she was a glamorous figure.
Well, that's all I remember.
You remember she was in Howard Hughes. Had her in some movies. One was called The Outlaw, which was actually banned for a while because it seemed kind of racy. And he designed a special bra for her because she was
Cross Your Heart bra.
I don't. It might have been a Cross Your Heart bra. Yeah, it was a.
She was amply endowed.
She was the country bar bra.
Yeah, that's right. They call them full figured. I think. Does full figured mean amply endowed, or does it mean just fat? I've never really known that.
That's what I thought. I thought it meant fat.
No, I think full figure means when you're really.
Well, full figure in clothing is a nice way of saying you're a little wide.
Yeah.
Full figure in a bra means you're well endowed.
Yeah.
Okay. And who's this speaking, please?
Me, Liza.
Oh, this is Liza. Okay.
Yeah. Are you?
Okay.
No, never mind.
Okay.
What did he say?
No, never mind, because he was going to ask you whether you're fully endowed yourself. And
no, I'm not.
I'm proud of it. I'm sorry.
I have a cute face, but no. Flat as a pancake. We're talking a pancake house.
That's kind of funny because a lot of times, women who are, well, fat is the word I'm groping for, and they would always say, I know I'm fat because women, because guys tell me that I have a nice looking face. So is that you?
No, but I don't have anything on top.
Okay, that's all right, because we are the kind of guys who care more about your brain.
Sure.
No, you don't buy that.
No, believe us.
Okay,
believe us.
You got a well-endowed brain.
Trust us.
Yeah, that's right. She has a well-endowed brain.
I was thinking of getting those implants, but I'm afraid to.
Oh, I wouldn't fool. Don't fool with that. There's no need of that. I mean, I'm not too fully endowed myself, so I can identify with you.
I'd like a little bit more, but you're crazy.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Okay, Jane Russell, let me tell you something about her, so maybe you can, you know, pin down, because I got some years in this thing. She was born Ernestine Jane Geraldine Russell in Bemidji, Minnesota. That don't help you at all, but in the film Paleface with Bob Hope in 1948. Isn't that funny? Why would they pick that out? They didn't mention The Outlaw and a dozen other things. She was in, with Marilyn Monroe, the blonde thing. Gentlemen
Prefer Blonde.
Yeah, that's right, Rod. She was in that in a number of movies.
She was too busty. She had too much.
In a way, I never thought she was particularly sexy in a sense.
No, she had too much, because I saw her in a movie just the other night, and she was huge. I would not want to be that big.
And she took it away from you.
Yeah.
And you have a right to be angry.
Yeah. I got shortchanged.
She also appears, or used to appear, in the Playtex commercials, speaking of all that. Okay, let's start with you, Joanne. How old are you? How old? I was going to say, how big do you think Jane Russell is?
What size is your bra?
I got a little, pardon the expression, sidetracked on that one. But no, that didn't even make any sense. But how old do you think Jane Russell is today, June 21st?
I only remember her from the Cross Your Heart commercials. Let's see.
She's been on some TV shows, I think, as a panel member or something, being interviewed recently, I think, on some shows.
If you say so, sure. I believe you.
Okay. I'll say 79.
Okay. And what do you think, Liza?
She's still too big on top. She was huge. You know what's my fear, though? Well, forget it. I was going to get into those... what do you call it? The implant?
Yeah.
Yes.
But now I was going to say there's another kind of implant they have, but it doesn't leak or anything. But it's still kind of scary, though.
The saline one.
Having something foreign in your body. Well,
Liza, none of them have been proven to be 100% safe.
I know.
Don't do anything. Don't put anything in your body.
Well, you can put
two tennis balls in your bra.
Yeah, right now. Tissues. I've done that a couple. Not tennis balls. I put tissues.
You know what Mr. Wizard says. Be just what you is and not what you is not. Those who do that, they're the happiest lot.
I know.
Oh, that's really nice. That's really touching. Sweet. That's
Jenny
really
Jones had implants, and then she had to take them out. They were leaking.
Yeah, I know. I know. She said a few programs based upon that.
Yeah, I've seen them. Okay,
yeah.
I would say she's 78.
78. I knew a woman in a softball pitcher. Her measurements were 52, 43, and 81, and that was just her pitching arm.
I was going to ask if she got a black eye when she threw the ball.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you didn't. Dee Dee, how old do you think Jane Russell is today?
I'm thinking about 76.
That's the spirit.
Okay.
I like your accent. That's cute.
Rod, let's hear from a man's viewpoint. What do you think? How old do you think Jane Russell is?
38 double D. I mean, no.
He's doing shtick. He's a security guy doing shtick.
I think she's about 73.
Okay, never mind, Stick. Just protect us. Protect us from terrorists. Okay, 73. And Mike, what do you think?
I'm going to say 72.
72.
Yeah.
And that's just her pitching arm. I say when you get a good line, just keep using it over and over again till nobody can stand you anymore.
Tony. Tony, why, he's dead.
A very pointed 68.
Wow. Oh, he's, that's why he took so long to think of that, that cockamamie line.
I was trying to do the math.
I see, 68. All right. And Jack, do you know what Bemidji, Minnesota is famous for, by the way?
No.
Paul Bunyan. It's a big statue of Paul Bunyan.
Oh, is that right?
Minnesota. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see. She's going to be 75. Okay, actually, she's 73. I think Rod is cheating because he hit that right on the button. But
so do I.
Did you look that up ahead of time, Rod, or did you?
No, actually, she was on the Vicky show not too long ago, and she had just had her birthday, and she said she was a VP of the last year, and she said she had just turned 72. So I figured if it's her birthday today, then she must be 73.
You cheated. That's
you can't argue with that.
No, that's okay. No, that no, that's okay.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, they're canceling the Vicky show.
Yeah, and they're going to put on Mary Lou now.
Yeah, Mary Lou Henner.
Oh, please. Oh.
From Taxi.
Oh, Mary. And, she's kind of an adorable person.
Oh, she's very adorable.
But all the shows get to look alike after a while. I thought Vicky was pretty good, except she appealed apparently to an older audience or something. And the ratings weren't too good.
I think that the main problem that she had was with, from what I've read and what I've understood, she had some problems within her production group, her crew, her cast and
her
crew.
Her husband didn't appeal to the management, I guess.
And the management was Westinghouse.
Yep.
So maybe we shouldn't comment about this too much.
Yeah, let's comment the heck with it. They talk about us, don't they?
We'll talk
about them. So Rod has got the first round. He's about Maureen Stapleton. From Troy, New York, appeared in A View from the Bridge, Bye Bye Birdie, Cocoon, and The Return. That is Cocoon, The Return. She's not, there are two, Jean Stapleton is the one who was on All in the Family, if you're thinking
of that.
That's
right, she's Edith.
She was Edith, that's right. Now, this is Maureen Stapleton, who is a
relation,
totally different. I don't know whether she's, I don't think she's related. I don't believe so. Stapleton is a nice actor's name, isn't it? If my name were like Lester Stapleton, you'd expect me to be an actor, would you not?
In an actor's home by now, yeah.
Oh, that's right. That'd be
it's also a good name for traffic reporters.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Joe Stapleton. That's true. Yes. Okay, Jack, what do you think? How old is Maureen Stapleton?
And Joe Stapleton's done a little acting here and there. Let me see.
Probably played Edith Bunker on the stage or something.
Hey, you should see him running after Archie's beer. Here's your beer, Archie. One load of traffic, Archie.
Yeah.
Hey, Arch. The traffic is awful. Awful steep there on the coming up north. I don't know what I'm saying. 75. Okay. I guess you're dead doing your stick. You know you're in bad trouble. Okay, Dee Dee, what do you think?
70.
70.
And the terrorists are coming in the door. He's going, hey, guys, did you hear the one about the...
Yeah. You know, anyway, Liza, what do you say?
75.
75.
Where are you guys from, huh? You're from a small town, and I'm from a small town.
What, did I just blow your eardrum out? Did I blow his eardrum out?
I'm sorry, what's that, please?
I blew your eardrum out.
You blew what? I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said. Oh, come on. Stop it. Joanne, just tell me how old you think Maureen Stapleton is.
75.
74. Nobody even cares anymore. But, okay. And now
I wasn't saying anything wrong. I just thought it was eardrum out.
No, I know that. Marianne Hartley. Who's
it?
I'm sorry. I forgot we have to get answers to all of these things. Okay. Maureen, would you guys simmer down a little bit? This sounds like a drunken party going on here. This happens to be Westinghouse. This is a serious operation. This is an all new station. This isn't just an all giggle, stupid station.
Yeah.
Maureen Stapleton is 69. Mm-hmm. And which means Tony said 68.
Did everyone guess?
And Dee Dee said 70. Yeah. So it would be Dee Dee and Tony both came the closest. Mm-hmm.
So we have three winners now of various. The D.D. and Rod and Tony all have won a piece. As we go to Marriott, Hartley has appeared in many TV films. Of course, one of the things that people noticed most about her was the James Garner thing with
Kodak. What's the Kodak?
Polaroid.
Mm-hmm. Polaroid.
Yeah. Was that the Polaroid film commercial? It says former co-host on the CBS TV morning program, and also in the Betty Broderick story. They look for really remote things to mention in this lineup.
She's Mother's Against Drunk Driving, I think.
She was also in a fine movie, a Western, the very first movie she ever made, and I just can't think of the name of it. It was a Western with the.
Were that with John Wayne?
No, it wasn't John Wayne, but a couple of strong characters like that. She was a woman who was forced into marriage to some nasty guy, and finally was rescued from this ugly family. I can't remember. She was a very young person. I think she was only about 18 or 19 at the time. And it's an excellent movie, and I wish I could think of the title of it. That's really stupid. It's not a well-known movie, but an excellent one. I've seen it a few times. Anyway, Marriott Hartley. Let's start with you, Dee Dee. What do you think?
53.
Dee Dee says 53. And Mike, what do you think?
I'm going to say 54.
54. Okay. And Joanne?
54.
You're going to say 54 also? Did you say that because Mike said that?
Yes, I did.
Oh.
Okay. That's really just so sweet. I love when my kids get along. Jack, what do you think?
48.
48. Okay. Rod?
50.
Mike? I know. Tony?
When was this movie that you were talking about? Do you have any idea when you?
No, I don't remember the year because I told you she was 18.
Was it in color?
Yes, it was in color. Okay.
Well, she was in an episode of Star Trek at one point.
Yes, she was.
In her early 20s.
Yeah, she's done a whole lot of things, and the names of the movies just don't come readily to mind. Anyway, what do you think, Tony?
50.
50. Okay, and Liza?
52.
Okay, actually, she is 54. So that's Mike said 54, and Joanne said 54.
She was in her late 20s then in Star Trek, Jack. Yeah. Wow.
And also born on this day, let me double check this, Joe Flaherty. Do you know that name?
Oh,
Joe
SCTV.
Is in Second City, yes, SCTV, out of when they were filming up in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up on other things every now and then, but he's a funny guy. What I remember most about his role in that show, which I thought was one of the funniest programs ever, anywhere, was he did kids' shows, and he was always kind of drunk, wasn't he? He was kind of a drunken, but not a obviously drunken, falling down kind of guy, but he always had a silly grin on his face, and sitting in a bar stool, mm-hmm. usually.
And he was also the station manager in a wheelchair for some they never disclosed why he was in the wheelchair.
Was that on SCTV also?
On SCTV, he was like the manager of the mythical station.
I thought that was such a great show. Martin Short was on that, and Eugene Levy.
John Candy
was on that, that's right. And a whole bunch of, that woman who's also very, very funny.
Catherine O'Hara.
Well, and Aubrey? Isn't that awful?
Adrian Martin, something like that?
That's
Andrea
right.
Martin.
Yeah, that's right. Martin. That's right.
Tex and Edna Boyle's, Tex and Edna Boyle's Organ Factory, I think they had.
I just love that show. I it's not even on reruns. I just don't see it at all now. But anyway, Joe Flaherty. We'll start with Tony. What do you think?
Why'd you have to? I can't even picture him right now. 48.
He had bad skin, didn't he? Have bad. I keep thinking it's
49. Then no.
Did you ever get the answer to the Marriott Hartley question?
Yes, we did. Where are you fighting off terrorists? Right? Yeah, yeah. No, the she. So I said she's 54.
Oh. Okay.
Joanne and Mike both won that.
Okay.
Okay, and now we're on to Joe Flaherty. Did you hear my description of Joe Flaherty?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Tony said 48, and let's see, Liza, what do you say?
So your description was bad skin, but he was funny.
Yeah. How old is the guy who was got bad skin in his front?
A comic with acne.
Let's see.
He laughed so hard he broke out in a rash.
Yeah, skin isn't, you know, all that bad, but it's not...
It wasn't the greatest.
No, it wasn't baby smooth like ours.
He used to do the Dracula character for the horror movie things. Pretty scary, yeah.
Is he on Maniac Mansion or something like that?
Yeah.
Which I don't watch.
I'm going to say 52.
Okay, Liza says 52. And Dee Dee?
I'm going to say 46.
Oh, it's okay with us. I'm so glad. Oh, hold back. Show mercy. God's sakes. Joanne, how old do you think Joe Flaherty is?
47.
Oh, my. Mm. You picked some great women today, Mike. You really did.
Good job.
Thank you.
I'm having erotic dreams, and I'm not even asleep. Mike, what do you think?
Oh, let's see.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, what do you think about these women? No, how old do you think that Joe Flaherty is?
I think... What's the highest guess we have right now?
Who cares?
I know. I'm going to say...
The highest guess is 52.
No.
I'm
going to say 50.
Hold on just a minute. I think there's one guy still watching, listening to Jim Bohannon. Okay, 50. And what do you say, Jack?
49.
49 and 49. And Rod?
I'm going to say 48.
48. Okay. Actually, he's older than what you guys are saying. Joe Flaherty is 54.
Wow.
54. And so that means...
that old.
Yeah, oh, that's old. Yeah, no, actually, Liza, almost everybody has won one except you, Jack.
Oh.
Yeah, you're the only one who hasn't won, but everybody's won. Liza and Joanne and Dee Dee and Rod and Mike and Tony and all the swell kids here in the Teen Canteen. Anyway, how about, here's the governor of New Hampshire.
Lowell Weicker. No.
Steve Merrill, who was the governor of New Hampshire, will guess how old he is. I have no clues about him. He does not did not make the big book here, but he made the Associated Press wire. But it doesn't say anything about him except that he's the governor of New Hampshire.
He's the governor right now?
He's the governor right now. He was just elected for the first time a couple of years ago, I guess. I think he's up for re-election this year, as a matter of fact. And...
he has my vote.
And he like all the governors in New Hampshire, he sits around the state house and he says, we will not have sales tax, we will not have income tax, and we'll continue to go just the way we've been going, okay? Otherwise, I won't get elected if they institute general.
But our property tax, whoo, boy, yeah.
That's right, but you're going to lose your house because you're never going to be able to pay for that. That's Steve Merrill, who sounds like a hero from a kid's book, doesn't he?
Sounds like a baseball player, doesn't he?
Steve Merrill would be a good baseball player. Steve Lefty Merrill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's right, yeah. His ERA is...
figured never a criminal, too. Steve Lefty Merrill.
Could be a criminal. Mm. Could be that, too. And he may very well be. We'll have to wait till he gets out of office.
She could be someone you'd want to pick a bone with.
She could be something you want to pick a bone with.
No, Steve could be somebody you want to pick a bone with. I have a bone to pick with you. Bone marrow. I get it.
No.
That's not how it
says. No, that's bone marrow.
Well, what's the last thing?
This is Merrill. Merrill.
Oh, Merrill.
M-E-R-R-I-L-L.
But if his name was Merrill, that would have been excellent.
That would have fitted.
That's a joke.
That would have been hilarious.
So with a name like Merrill, he's someone you'd want to lynch.
Oh.
Merrill Lynch, yeah.
Okay. Hang it up.
Jim. All right, yeah, let's all move along now. Joanne, how old do you think Steve Merrill is?
Oh, thanks.
54. Okay, and Liza?
Oh, I don't have a clue.
Here's a clue. He's 6'1", weighs 170 pounds. Has brown eyes and red hair.
And good skin.
Or is it brown hair and red eyes? I can never remember.
Bats right and
and throws left.
Yeah.
In the blue trunks, weighing in at.
Okay.
Who this, were you describing?
He's describing Steve Merrill, governor of New Hampshire.
Oh, was he cute?
Well, no. Governors are never cute, unless you think William Weld
is
cute.
Does he have good skin? That's very important.
Yeah, he has excellent skin. That's the only thing he's got going for him. And he's sort of bald, too, so you see a lot of that skin right up through the top of his head.
Oh, boy.
Old skinhead Merrill, they call him.
No, he's a nice looking man, you know, for a governor. Are you going to guess, Liza, or do we have to we have to scream at you?
What did everyone say?
We haven't gone that far. Joanne said 54, and you're only the second one I'm asking.
Oh boy.
Is it election time yet? I think it will be soon. Yeah.
All right, I'll give it like 62.
62, because you think you're going by what ages you think governors ought to be.
No, not really. What? I'm going by because he's losing his hair.
I see. Okay. I'm going by because he's losing his hair. What is that? What is that? Dee Dee, what do you think?
Who's mimicking me?
I don't know.
With my Boston accent.
Nobody's mimicking you, for heaven's sakes. Dee Dee, how old is Steve Merrill? 52. Rod, what do you say?
I'll say 55.
And Michael? Mike, or sometimes known as just plain Mike.
I'll say 54.
54. And Tony?
I will say 55 also.
55 also. And Jack Hart?
56.
56. Actually, he's only 48.
Oh, jeez. Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's only 48. Golly, yeah,
he's going bald? Wow.
Well...
For a governor.
Okay. Let me see. 48. Who came the... Who under the lowest... Yes, 52, I guess, was the lowest. That's Dee Dee. Yeah, Dee Dee won that round. Dee Dee now
All right, Dee Dee.
Yes, Dee Dee has two correct answers.
All right.
Boy, did I tell you that if you... whoever wins this gets a really tacky, cornball, nothing kind of worthless, tasteless prize?
And you know, there's nothing I like better.
You know something? Just point me in the direction of West Virginia, and I'm on my way.
What did you say? We get a tactless prize?
A tacky prize. A tacky...
What, do we get a date with you? No.
Oh, God. That really hurt. Oh, that,
I'm sorry.
That hurt.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Meredith...
Definitely cruel. I'm gonna
combine the next two.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're kind of, and because they're both the same age, and they're both on the same television show, which is now in reruns. But they're both on Family Ties. She plays the mother, and he plays the father, and I play that I'm Pompadour for you. Anyway, she's Meredith Baxter. Meredith Baxter plays the mother on Family Ties, and Michael Gross plays the family. The father, rather. I'm sorry.
He plays the whole family.
What a demanding role. And he pulled it off with such ease.
That's right. Okay, so we'll guess both their ages, again, since they're both the same age. Meredith Baxter and Michael Gross. And let's see, we'll start with... I think we'll start with you, Rod.
Okay, I'll say she's 51.
51, so that goes for both of them, because they are both, as I said, both the same age. Okay. And Liza?
You know, I just saw her in a magazine, and it said her age. I can't think of what the heck it was.
I'm glad you brought it up, though.
Big hell. I'm going to say 52.
52. 52. Oh, okay. And Tony?
46.
46 for both Meredith and Michael. And Jack?
49.
What a 40. Voice.
Yeah, that's a nice voice, isn't it?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, really nice. Huh? That's 49. Okay. And Liza? No, we already guessed. So you said 52. Joanne?
48.
Say that again?
48.
Yeah, I know. I heard you. I just like the way you said that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Dee Dee? 47. He says 47. Okay, and Mike?
48 sounds good to me.
48 sounds good to Mike, and we'll put that down. Meredith Baxter and Michael Gross both are 47.
Oh, I was going to say, so, off by one.
You all were fairly close. Dee was the one who said 47.
She gets two on that
She
one.
Gets two, yeah, so she got four correct answers, and nobody else has more than one. And Jack Hart? Jack Hart has nothing.
Yeah.
He has nothing.
Nothing about his voice.
Yeah, I mean, that's all right, but will I keep you warm in the wintertime? Thank you. Sure. I mean, can you pet?
Well, he can breathe on his hands, I suppose.
Bernie Coppell. Is he the guy who's in Congress now? He was
no,
on.
No,
that's
Brandy.
Another one. That's it. Who was that on Congress?
That was Fred Grandy.
Oh, Fred Grandy, that's right. But Bernie Coppell also was on Love Boat.
He was a doctor.
Oh, that's right.
A lecherous doctor.
Oh, he was in Get Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he was Adam Bricker, the ship's doctor in Love Boat. Also on Get Smart?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he used to turn up all the time, and he turns up in all kinds of things. I think Love American Style now and again. And
oh, that's right. He was on Love American Style. Says that right here.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I guess we all know who Bernie Coppell is then. And now let's guess. We'll start with Jack Hart as the first person to tell us how old Bernie Coppell is.
Bernie Coppell. Let's see. let me do the math here. When was Love American Style on? He's got to be 57.
57. Okay. And Tony?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Hmm. 57.
57.
Maybe if we all guess 57, I'll finally get a point.
That's true. Mike, what do you think?
I'm going to say he's 59.
59. And Rod?
I'll say 58.
58. And Dee Dee? 60. 60. Okay, Liza?
I'm losing his hair, so that's a sure sign.
Yeah.
And he's got bigger breasts than I do. No, I'm kidding. I'd say maybe
57. Okay, this kind of makes...
That was his breast size, too, by the way.
That's right. This makes up for yesterday's program.
It certainly does.
Yeah. Yesterday really stank up the place. That was really awful. Joanne, how old do you think Bernie Coppell is today?
55.
55. Okay, now you're all waiting in great anticipation to find out what his actual age is, which is actually a little older than what all of you said. 61.
Oh.
61. I think Dee Dee got that one, too. She said 60.
Wow.
And all of you guessed underneath that. Under that. So Dee Dee has 5, and nobody else has any more than 1. Dee Dee, you're walking away with this whole thing.
All right. Good deal.
Is there any way you can turn this into some kind of a career down in West Virginia?
No. It's something to think about. I'll consider it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just bathing in the warmth of her voice.
Oh, so glad.
Yeah. Do you do a radio show down there or anything? No. If you could get on WWVA Wheeling, West Virginia, we could pick you up here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
Maybe you could give some of those guitar lessons that they talk about.
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because
they used to talk about, you know, you can learn how to play the guitar even if you don't have a guitar. You just have a little sheet of paper, and you kind of pretend it's a guitar, and you'd learn the chords that way. Did you ever hear any of those commercials down there?
I don't know, but it sounds about like something they do here.
I don't know what you just said, but it sounded so great. Okay, that seems to wind it up. I don't really have much of anything to... I mean, there are other people born in this day, like O.C. Smith... You know, the little green apples guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And let's see who else was born on this day. Lalo Schifrin.
Hey. Oh, 72 years old.
Sound like one of those names you make up.
No, this is really... he was a composer. He wrote the music for Dirty Harry, Cool Hand Luke, and Mission Impossible. He's written some very well-known
81.
Things.
81. If he's not 81, he's 79.
Actually, 62.
No, that was my third guess.
Say. Exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, Carl Stokes, who was the mayor of Cleveland in the 60s.
He's 79.
No, he's 73.
He's
65. 69.
He's
80.
Dwyer,
50. He's actually 67.
I said
69. No, you were close. You were the closest. No, see, the game is kind of over. We're just sort of just reviewing other people. Burke Breathed.
Berkeley Breathed.
Is it Berkeley? It says here Burke, B-R-K-E.
Bloom County and Outland.
That's right. Yeah, the cartoonist.
He's probably
40.
45?
Yeah.
47.
37.
Wow.
Yeah, he's just a young guy. And he's been doing that for a few years.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you have to be a product of the 50s. And,
well, he started doing that right out of college.
Pretty much, Bloom County. Wow.
Also, Ron Ely, who was the first Tarzan on television. Not the first Tarzan in general, but on television.
64.
I was going to say 61.
And that was in 66. Later, he hosted the Miss America pageant.
And named that. Was he on Name That Tune?
Yeah, he was on some game show for a while.
Yeah, how old do you think he is?
64?
61.
62.
Okay, 56, actually.
Oh, wow. What was the game show? Name That Vine?
Okay.
Can name that coconut in three notes.
I can name it in two notes.
I can name it in one.
Okay. Also, the birthday of former Prime Minister of Pakistan, and let's hear it for Benazir Bhutto. He's 41.
Ooh.
And he's a former Prime Minister?
Yeah, he must have been about 12 when he was the Prime Minister.
Quick career, my goodness.
Wow. Yeah. You're all washed up.
He's not even old enough to be Prime Minister. I mean, he's just, you know what I'm saying? Maybe you don't.
Well, according to Dr. Ruth, you're right.
It's also, I mention these things because there are people who are listening who also have birthdays today, and you always want to know who else has a birthday on my birthday, June 21st.
The only one you didn't give us was O.C. Smith, or whatever his name was.
O.C. Smith, 61.
Huh.
And Françoise Sagan. She wrote Bonjour Tristesse. She was just a child then. It was 1945 when she wrote that.
So she must be. She must be.
Must be.
She must be. Le 51?
She's a little bit older than that.
55.
She's
54.
59, actually.
What?
Yeah. Hey, listen, I think it's about time to call this thing to a close. And our winner, actually, of course, easily the winner, is Dee Dee. And you will get a tasteless, tacky, nothing kind of gift. And, again, we ask you not to return it to us because we have no use for it either, okay? You're not fully satisfied.
And, Dee Dee, we already got your name and address for the music game.
Oh, okay. Right? She was cleaning up the place tonight.
Wow. Okay.
Music quiz, birthday game.
Okay. A multiple winner.
Okay, we do not have Dee Dee's full name and address.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, we do. Okay. Right. Then I will thank all of you for playing the game with us. You're all delightful. Joanne, thank you.
Thank you, Norman.
Called me Norman. That's so personal. And Dee Dee?
Thank you, Norm.
Oh, my goodness.
Can I get you the women or what?
Okay.
Mike deserves a raise.
Stay out of this, will you, Rod? For God's sakes, I'm making out here. Liza?
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
I love it.
Come on now.
And thank you, Rod.
You're welcome.
Oh, be quiet. Anyway, Jack and... I clipped them off too soon, but who cares? And Jack and Mike and Tony, and I appreciate that very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Norman.
Thank you, Uncle Norman.
Oh, hold on a minute. I'll see if I can get the news on. I think I'm in bad trouble here.
Yeah, you are.
One moment, please.
WBZ Boston.
For people with the Azusa gun, you know.
Yes.
And
I do recall that magic moment when I did say that.
Yeah, and I was thinking of something. If the people came in with guns blazing, not only would you hear it on the radio because he was on the phone, but Fred from Medford would tape it and then inflict it upon us by playing it back.
That's right. He'd be playing it forever and ever. Yeah. And talking surly around it.
Yeah. A couple of questions. What happened to Amelia Morata?
Emilio Morata married Annette Funicello over the weekend in a surprise wedding in his hometown of Taunton, Massachusetts. And they now, I think, at the moment, I think they're having a honeymoon in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, by the lake out there.
That's right.
We just got confirmation on that.
Is that where your cousin Irving Spiegel's from?
No, Irving Spiegel actually lives. You know about my cousin? You listen too closely. You're scary, Glenn. I do have a cousin, Irving Spiegel. He's married to my cousin Miriam Spiegel, and they actually live in Marina Del Rey, California.
Oh,
and Irving is actually an interesting guy. His folks and his grandparents came to either South or North Dakota and were peddlers traveling around the Midwest up there, traveling up through the Black Hills of South Dakota, up into North Dakota and all that, and then eventually moved to Minnesota where he lived and then married my cousin Miriam. Isn't that an interesting story? You don't even care. Nobody cares. Okay.
That's why I asked. I mean, if I mentioned, I know you used to, on the birthday games in the past, you always mentioned his name and somebody Lefkowitz.
Oh, yeah, Lefkowitz. That's another fella. I'll hold that for another time.
I forget his first name.
Yeah, I don't want to throw too many of these wondrous stories at people all at the same time. It's hard to absorb all the excitement of it.
In the course of 5 hours. Yeah, I had just two more questions.
Yes.
I was curious what happened to Lonnie Carton.
Dr. Lonnie Carton. She never let us forget that she's Dr. Lonnie Carton. She'll still be on with Features, I guess, rather than the live question and answer program that she has done in the past.
Yeah, because I was listening to BZ Saturday afternoon, and they said that from now on they're going to do a money financial show.
Yeah, money funny. Yeah, a lot of people. You know how these grown-ups are, Glenn. You and I don't get involved in that kind of stuff because we're just a couple of kids,
right?
And all we care about is, you know, going on the merry-go-round and fooling around and playing and that kind of stuff.
I like the Ferris wheel myself.
Yeah, but pardon me.
I like the Ferris wheel.
The Ferris wheel, all that kind of stuff. But the grown-ups start worrying about investments and stocks and money management, all that. That's all that, all that grown-up boring stuff. And so those people are on for the boring grown-ups that we have listening to WBC.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them.
I guess, unfortunately, there are.
And just one more question. Do you remember a newsman on WMEX in the early 60s named Stan Major?
Yeah, it has a familiar sound, but I don't think I know him too well.
He was the first one that broke the bulletin in the news story when Kennedy was shot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been trying to track him down for 31 years, and he's doing an all-night syndicated talk show now. Not that I'm trying to give him a plug.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I talked to him at 1 o'clock this morning. I've been trying to track him down. I'm trying to get a tape of him doing that news bulletin, but he doesn't have it.
Why would you want that? Do you have a collection of all-time radio memorabilia?
Well, no, I just remember being... I was at the time, I was a fifth grader at Perkins School in Watertown, and I was outside with my radio on the swings. It was a nice day, and I was listening to rock and roll, and the bulletin came on that the president had been shot. You know, John, it was, Friday, November 20th.
So you'd like to kind of relive that moment by having a tape of him doing that?
Yes.
I see.
And he's running for president in 96.
Who is running? Majors?
Stan Major.
Stan Major is running for president?
Yeah, he wants to do what Bill Weld is doing. He's going to be a Republican who leaves the social issues alone. In other words, he's not going to beat up on gays or abortion, or he's not into family values and all that.
Yeah. What makes him think he'd be a good presidential candidate or even has any kind of a chance at all?
Well, he thinks that...
Is he one of these talk show hosts where whose notoriety has gotten a hold of him to a point where his ego is now practically blown off his head?
No, in fact,
I'm not asking you to say those kind of things. I'm just saying that it seems to me he's in the same category as every other talk host who thinks that they can solve the problems of the world simply because they've talked on the phone to people a few years.
Well, he doesn't yell and scream and hang up on people.
Yeah, but what gives him the idea that he can run for president has the slightest chance of getting anywhere with that?
Well, he thinks he can. He thinks that moderate mainstream America wants, cares more about fiscal conservatism, but doesn't want government in their bedroom.
I see.
Like
yeah.
their wealth.
Yeah.
So I mean, okay. I told him I'd be his vice presidential candidate if he ran.
Mm. Okay, well, I'm glad, and I hope one day you'll get on and plug us on his program, Glenn, but thank you very much for calling.
When do you need a meeting?
All the people who laughed at him, I think, lasted on radio about 3 more minutes, and he became a megastar.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing the way that worked out. And while I was doing a jazz show on HDH, he was on MEX doing this, the Woo-Woo Ginsburg with the horns and all the crazy stuff.
The Ruger horn.
And I would bump into him from time to time, and he would say, you know, the trouble, Norm, is you ought to have some horns, and you ought to do that, you know, that kind of stuff. And I thought I was, you know, I was kind of having integrity. I was doing a cultured show.
Sure.
I didn't. No, anyway, we both did well. We just played different kind of music.
Yeah.
But Artie is a nice guy. He was, again, he was at the party the other night. And, we've been friends for years and years and years. As a matter of fact, one thing I didn't mention that night, but Arnie was the first guy I ever told that I was going to marry my wife. We had been on a double date that night. And anyway, so he holds a very...
That's been a long time.
That was a long time ago. So he holds a very special place in my heart and my background and stuff. And I'm very fond of him. He's a nice guy.
I think of you at night when, you know, when you talk about your horses and all, and how I've felt, you know, I've wanted to call, and it's wanted to call when Norma died, and just offer my condolences, because I'm sure even now you must still have that loneliness there.
Yeah, I miss her.
She's a great person.
Yep.
Really was.
Well, I appreciate that. You know something, Linda, you're okay.
Well, I'm just, but I think this is the first time I've heard you through to the early morning hours like this for a long time, and I'm glad Bob had the night off.
I'm glad, I'm very glad you called.
Hi, Nathan.
Yes, hi.
Yeah, I'm glad that I got to you, because I wanted to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
I heard you say something about you were going to a big band contest on Sunday?
Yeah, it's in Salem, and I meant to bring the information in. And there are two or three big bands. It's a competition kind of thing, and a few of us who would like music, including some jazz disc jockeys who are on the air right now, will be judging to see who the winner is. And it's a charitable kind of thing, and I forget who the funds are raised for. I'm sorry, I have so few details.
So it is open to the public.
Oh, yes, it is, very much so.
You don't know the location?
I know it. I feel I'm embarrassed to say that. I just forgotten. It's in Salem. It's, I think, near the Peabody Museum. The Peabody Museum up there. It's in that general area.
Uh-huh.
When I get back on the air Friday night, I will mention that. It's Sunday afternoon, so I'll be able to get back on the air before it happens and explain to you where it's happening.
About what time on Sunday?
It's in the afternoon, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. 3 to 6 or 4 to 7, something like that.
Yeah, because I'm a big band maniac. I love that kind of music. And I wanted to mention, in case someone's listening, the Prescott Park in Portsmouth opens up on this Saturday evening with their big band concert.
Oh, I've heard the big band up there, and it's magnificent. Do you live somewhere in the Portsmouth area?
No, I live in East Hampstead, which is near Plastow, but
I'll
take the drive about 30 miles.
Okay, because I have a daughter who lives in Newcastle, which is just outside of Portsmouth,
uh-huh.
and works up in that area. And last year, I went to something in Prescott Park up in Portsmouth, which celebrated old radio.
Oh, sure, I saw that.
Were you there?
Well, I wasn't there every night because they ran.
I don't mean every night, but you did see the show.
Oh, yes, it was
with the
very
big,
good.
With the big band and the whole business. It was beautifully done. I liked it, too.
Considering that the young people who did it couldn't have known that much about the era.
Oh, I'm sure they didn't.
But the flashbacks they had on the screen and all about the war and Roosevelt and... They talked about the Bickersons and things like that.
Yeah, no, I thought it was beautifully done. I enjoyed it very, very much. I did see that.
Yeah, I caught it at the beginning, I think, the first or second performance. Did you catch it later in the season?
Probably.
Yeah, because it ran till about mid of August.
Yeah,
from,
I think.
From the end of June to mid-August.
Right.
And it was good. I just, the dancing was very good, too. They had these guys in soldiers' uniforms dancing and all. It was pretty good.
It was. It was very nicely done. I enjoyed it very much.
Did the mosquitoes get you at all?
No, I wasn't conscious of them at all.
Got a windy day then.
No, as a matter of fact, this year, I forget what the date is on this, but I'll mention this too. Up at the Portsmouth Music Hall, each year they just started a series of concerts to raise funds for the Harry Jones Memorial Fund. Harry Jones was a guy who loved playing music and loved that same kind of music and loved jazz. And I remember going to the concert last year, which featured some great musicians. And this year I get a chance to MC the thing, and I forgot what the date is. I don't have the information with me. Mm-hmm. But Marshall Royal, I think, and Clark Terry, and some great musicians, plus the Seacoast Big Band, which is a big band from the Portsmouth area, will
be
performing.
Yeah, they'll be playing at Prescott Park on Saturday night.
Oh, will they?
Yeah.
Okay, and they're going to be performing at this special Harry Jones concert that we'll be having later on. I'll mention dates later.
I'll stop at the Portsmouth Theater, and outside they have the list of all the artists that are coming in for the season. I can get that.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you something about, you mentioned that there's a singer living in your area who used to sing with Kay Kaiser. You said that.
Oh, I don't know about my area. Harry Babbitt used
to. Right, that's his name.
Yeah, you said my area. Well, it's in the, he lives around the greater Boston area. I'm not sure what town that is.
Okay, because I met him once when he played at the Manchester Palace Theater, and he was with a show there, and I met him. He was on a bus tour about 3 years ago, and he was such a nice guy.
Yeah, in recent years, he's been on a lot of boats and stuff, you know, where they have entertainment on cruise ships and things.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he's still doing that or not, but...
He's in his mid-70s, I guess.
Oh, I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, but what a nice guy, and that's what the reason I would like, if I could possibly get his phone number and talk to him about the
Big Band. I don't, his name is Harry Babbitt, and maybe he's in the phone book, it's possible.
It's possible.
If you look it up in the Greater Boston phone book.
I will do that.
Brookline or Newton, maybe, or something like that. I really don't have the number.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about... I wanted to tell you that I called you up, I guess, for the first time. I've called you three times since, about a year ago. And in case people are wondering about the cost of calling you from New Hampshire, I spoke to you for about 40 minutes. We talked about I'm a one-man band and I play in nursing homes and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it when I got my bill. $3.60. We spoke for 40 minutes. You held me over the news and all. Because whenever I hear you winging it, thank you very much. You're so nice and all. I know that you're looking for someone to call you, and I like to come to your rescue in a sense. So.
Well, I thank you. Yeah, the phone bill, the phones cost actually during the night are the cheapest. They're really not too bad.
Yeah, one question. Why does Bob Raleigh and Brundle have they seem to have a problem about their age. Bob Raleigh says he's 35, and I know he's older than that. And Brundle says he's 75, and I know he's younger than that.
I think most people in broadcasting do not want to admit their real age, and so they joke about it.
Well, you admit your real age.
I'm 68. No, I'm the only guy on radio who admits his own age. I don't know why other people don't.
Because
what's that?
You're the most honest one of them all.
Well, I don't know. It's honest. I don't think there's anything terribly wrong with getting older and admitting how old you are. Nobody cares. And it's just, I don't know why, but a lot of people don't want to admit it. It's not only people in broadcasting, but a lot of people outside of broadcasting, too. It's just an age. It's totally irrelevant. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
And no, I don't mind telling you how old I am. I've mentioned that a whole lot of times. But it seems to, I think maybe it's because this is a society that's based upon young people. Mm-hmm. And you feel like they're going to dump you out in the toilet or something once you get older.
but
I'm, you know, I've been around for so long, if they dump me in the toilet, it doesn't matter anymore. You know, what have I got to lose at this stage of my life?
So true, yeah. I was wondering, I remember little things about you say once in a while. You said that you had a thing about Gail Patrick, remember?
Yeah, that's right. When I was younger, I thought she was the most beautiful lady. I kind of had... We used to say I had the hots for Gail Patrick.
Yeah, that's great. Because I collect the old magazines, and I saw an advertisement, I think, for Woodbury soap or something like that with Gail Patrick
holding
a cake of it. And I cut it out, and I framed it.
It's kind of funny. Woodbury soap was kind of the soap for attractive ladies. Right. Although it was some other soap you used to call.
Lux.
What was it, the one that, the soap of beautiful women? That was something else. You know something, I hate to say this, but I got to go because
I
got another commercial and I got to be off the air by within the next minute or so. Thanks a lot for calling, Stan.
If you have hot, itchy skin.
Marilyn Garrell, like myself, the almost good-looking Norm Nathan person. I'll see you later in the week, okay? Okay. All right. Jay McQuaid and the entire WBC News team coming up.
Another rebroadcast podcast is out on the webnets. Please like, subscribe, share, and it would be great if you could support the show by becoming a patron on, where else? Patreon. Oh, I was remiss in mentioning something about the last episode. It was blocked in Russia. That little musical interlude was completely unacceptable. Okay, all caught up. Closing the vault and leaving this world a little sillier than we found it. For Gil Santos, Dave Dinger, Irving and Miriam Spiegel, Dr. Lonnie Carton, Annette Funicello, Lester Stapleton, Stan Major, Raw the Security Guard, and security guards everywhere, but especially WHDH, Harry Babbitt, Prescott Park in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, good-looking governors, honey-dipped crullers, Mike Epstein, Jack Hart, and the full-figured, loquacious Norman Nathan. I'm Tony Nesbitt.